sort of realised very quickly that we were only ever going to make a loss if we were going to breed Dexter cattle. It wasn't going to make us a profit, and it was going to be a lot of hard work for nothing. And I suddenly realised, actually, there are grants that you can access. And there are grants that you can access, but you need to be in some sort of stewardship scheme. So did a little bit of reading, found out about high-level stewardship and entry-level stewardship, and I applied for high-level stewardship. And the money from that, actually, along with single farm payment, made us a very slight profit, and it also meant that we could get funding to rebuild the walls. So we built quite a lot of walling, and we got some funding from the English Woodland to plant the trees, drove through them when you came down the drive. And what's interesting, I don't think we've got the planning permission to plant them now.
So this happened in the first 2 years of you
being
here?
About the first 3 years.
So you got the higher level stewardship, which helped you to do this.
Yeah. We got that in 2009, so it would have been 4 years in. We moved here in 2005.
And that has made it possible for you to manage the land in the way that you want to?
Yes.
And to
Without that, we would have just rented it out to a local dairy farmer, and he would have managed it. And he manages everything else. It's people who are on small holdings, I guess, and people who aren't dependent on farming for their main income are the ones that have the luxury of being able to concentrate on conservation. Because a lot of farmers around here, it's not a rich farming area. You know, they're not rolling in it. And you don't have time to fanny around building dry stone walls that you don't need. Mm. You've got a large herd of cattle. It's easy to take the wall out and manage that whole field for silage and plow it up and manage it for silage. You know?
Have you sort of engaged in this discussion with the farmers around here, like how they're under the cosh, the financial cosh of, like, obviously food prices and particularly dairying? It's just horrendous now, isn't it? But
if you talk to the lad that's tending our field at the moment, he would say that you don't make enough from the stewardship. It's supposed to compensate you, but actually you just want to put muck on, get the grass growing, get the grass in. And the reality is, no, you need to make life easier for yourself and make it easier to make a profit. You don't want to make it harder. And he's right. Government is supposedly behind encouraging small businesses, but it certainly doesn't encourage small-scale farming. The way it's set up in this country now, encouraging large-scale farming, because it is only large-scale farming that's going to be profitable.
So you've got this high-level stewardship agreement, which is going to carry you on for another sort of 5 years or so. Do you know other people around here who've got corners of land, bits of land in high-level stewardship like you have, or even
all of it? I know quite a few who've got corners of land in high-level stewardship, and I know quite a few of them who say, when the agreement finishes, we're not going to do it again.
Environmentally, this is kind of catastrophic, isn't it, for biodiversity in this corner of...
Yeah, I don't think it's a good thing. The goalposts change. I mean, since... We've been here for 10 years, and since... We've been, inverted commas, farming, or as the local farmers say, hobby farming. The paperwork, regulations, they change every year. And you do not have time to read every bit of paper. Actually, it's not paper that comes now, it's PDFs.
Yeah.
And when I look round at some of the most beautiful farms are managed by farms that aren't in stewardship anyway. They've done it that way for hundreds of years. And they aren't going to read the PDFs online. It's bureaucracy gone totally insane. Don't know how you do it, though. It's a lack of the wholeness. It's people not seeing the whole of the story.
Yes, it's not a holistic
thing. Too many different departments all deciding and making their own interdepartmental rules.
Yeah.
Another thing that really makes me angry is that it's prescriptive. You have these prescriptions for managing your land. Those prescriptions are the same throughout the UK.
Yeah, and they don't work.
I do educational access, and I have really struggled to get... I was really struggling to get the visit. We can have up to 25 visits a year under our high-level stewardship agreement for educational access. Actually, I have about 12 a year. I get about one a month, because we don't do any over winter.
Mm.
Not many over winter.
Mm.
Do a few. We got a grant to build a disabled access footpath through our woodland and a boardwalk and a pond dipping platform, because we've got a little pond down there. I got a grant to do that. We have wheelchair access now. And our boardwalk, it goes through our rushes, past a hedge, through a growing hazel coppice. We've planted it as a hazel coppice. Past some dry stone walls and then and onto a pond. You've got a stream habitat, a dry stone wall habitat, a wetland habitat, a tree habitat, a coppice habitat, a pond habitat, all within this short area that anybody doing environmental studies in a wheelchair can access that habitat. I've had two wheelchair users. That's it. And I know that it could be used so much better. And so I've had that money, and it won't actually ever get used, because if I want it to be used, I have got to go out and I have got to aggressively market it myself.
So should we move back on to the future then for stewardship schemes in this area, do you think? Do you think it's just all gone?
Somebody not so far from here has just said, I will never do stewardship again. And I am not even craving single farm payment, because I don't want to be beholden to the government. I don't think they have yet realised that actually, whether you claim single farm payment or not, you have some legal obligations to keep certain records, and it is not dependent on single farm payment. Well, it's actually a legal requirement to keep those records.
And that's the stick, isn't it, really?
So what happens when you're not taking a single farm payment? People are thinking, if I don't take a single farm payment, especially with smallholders, you know, people with small amounts of land, I don't have to obey the rules. Actually, you still have to obey the rules. But I'm not quite sure what stick they're going to beat you with. I think there have been too many changes and too much paperwork too quickly. I just sort of think you get used to one thing and it all changes. And I don't know. Well, I know from conversations in the pub, I am not the only person that feels like that. And I hear I am not going to do stewardship again.
That's quite common. Commonly held view, I think.
You've heard it from us, not just me.
The pubs around here,
I just sort of think, am I the only person that feels like this? No, I don't think I am, because I've been in the pub and you hear absolute waste of time. And I know somebody locally, he's only done it because he's had about 5 miles of dry stone walling now. And he's had a lot of dry stone walling, and it's really, really, really good.
So what do you think this means in terms of this landscape then? And the creatures that live on it, the farmland creatures.
I think we're gonna get less hay meadows, because I know that when we come out of stewardship my hay meadows will go, and it will upset me. I will probably keep that one, and I will probably insist that whoever rents my land leave that one as a hay meadow, because it is really rich in flowers now. But the other ones will just get managed along with the rest of their farming. They'll get muck on and they will get mown whenever.
I mean, I'm just thinking about in terms of you know, the 97 point whatever hay meadows that were lost in the 1980s and the 1990s in the Peak Park. I think we're down to about 3%, aren't we, actually?
Yeah.
So we're now talking about the tiniest last percentage, and I bet an awful lot of the Peak
District, I think you're going to lose a lot of them,
are round here. So actually what happens here is critically really important. And while we're sort of fiddling while Rome burns on this project, aren't we? Because basically they're going at a rate kind of as of now, aren't they?
I know one that's about to go. Walked through it the other day and I thought it's absolutely gorgeous, but they come out of stewardship and she says, that's it, we can mow it whenever we like and we can put as much muck on it as we like. And you think, that's going to go. It's going to go, and I know my hay meadow up there won't, but I won't be claiming, I doubt I'll be claiming any payment on it, because I'm not going through all the hassle. Me, who is usually on top of all paperwork, I don't know what's going to happen, because I don't get basic payment scheme anymore. What will happen when we go out of stewardship this time? How easy, given that I'm not a proper farm anymore, how easy it is for me to persuade them that actually that field still needs stewardship, because without it there is no point in me keeping it as a hay meadow, because I got to the stage where, for health reasons, farming it, you know, as trying to be productive isn't worth it anymore.
How much financial incentive do you think you and other people around here would need if the bureaucracy was less onerous? What would be the financial unit that would make it worth maintaining a traditional haymeadow?
Probably slightly more than you're getting on the
stewardship. So what you're getting at the moment, I don't know, per hectare, is it?
Is it 250 or something? 200, I can never remember.
We can find that out.
So that's barely enough.
It's barely enough.
So how much more would it?
I would probably want about 500 because...
Double. You think double would make it right?
Yeah. For me, it's the insurance. I hate getting my insurance bill because my insurance is more than the income I'm ever getting from the land.
Okay, so really we're talking about double the amounts, and actually that's not where we're going at all, is it?
No, we're going the opposite direction.
Actually needing is, you know, probably double the amount without all the paperwork. The forms and the paperwork.
Do you think that any muck is bad?
No, not at all. No. And they muck the meadows and still get loads of flowers. Mm. And what's really annoying me...
It's the sort of muck that you're putting on, isn't it? It's the real...
It's farmyard. Slurry doesn't help enormously.
No.
But we have that field at the back. That field had loads of flowers in. They both had loads of flowers in when we moved here. Well, not loads, but quite a lot. Mm. Now they've just got hay rattle. Because we've always mowed late, hay rattle's allowed to flourish. If you have odd years where you mow early, the hay rattle gets chopped off and it goes away again and it allows other flowers to come in. And hay rattle's taking over at the expense of other flowers. And there was a paper written by this guy up in Durandales who's actually said that since stewardship's come in, the diversity of flowers in some meadows has gone down.
Yeah.
And they've got far more hay rattle, but they haven't got as many of the other flowers. And he wrote a really good article on it. And my management scheme would be to mow randomly. Because that's what people did with the weather. Yeah. And it worked. Yeah. That's how you created the hay meadows.
Yeah.
They didn't go, well, we can't mow until the 15th of July.
Well, that's to be honest, that's about ground nesting birds.
Yeah.
A lot of that is about ground nesting birds. So the last possible point at which...
Lots of farmers don't like disturbing ground nesting.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that some of the rules are not about seeds when. They're actually about ground nesting birds.
Yeah. But some of it's about what seeds when.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just saying that last possible second brood of this species is what the measure is. You know what I mean?
Well, I hate seeing the curlews losing the babies they do every year, don't they?
Mm. Well, they're in dire straits throughout Europe, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not just here, and I think it's sort of...
Throughout Europe.
Everywhere. I don't know how you bring it back, because actually I think that, you know, I don't think people are interested in... It has to be made ever so much easier.
Mm.
You need something about that size.
Yeah.
You don't want tons of paper... I've had the young farmers round and walked through the hay meadows and had one young lad say, I never even thought of it like that. And I said, you know, you have the flowers and you have pollinators, and talked about food changes. And I said, without these flowers, you won't have these species. And they are a really important part of the food chain and the soil cycle, because you need certain microbes in the soil for things to grow really well. And that's something that you're losing as well. And you don't see what's going on under the ground. And we didn't know. And I sort of think, no, you're going to lose it, because that isn't what farming's about. They're going to listen to the how to fix my tractor, how to grow more, go faster. Mm. The younger lads that I hear want bigger, faster, better.
Mm.